Hi, everybody, and welcome to Chronicle the Podcast, a little something different for us. I'm Anthony Everett, along with Shayna Seymour. You know, we like to think here at Chronicle that we sit on the shoulders of giants, the people who started this program back in 1982. And they were certainly innovators, like to think of ourselves as innovators as well. And so we're stepping into the world of podcasts. I think we view this as sort of a supplement to the program that you're going to see on Channel 5 at 7:30 every night. There's a lot of stories behind the stories that we don't get to tell, and we think that might be interesting to our viewers.
Every night at 7:30, our viewers welcome Anthony and me into their homes, and they often are curious about how we made it to the anchor desk. Well, we both took very different paths to get here, and we thought maybe you'd be interested in hearing that story. So, Anthony, I recently learned you actually started your career as a sports reporter.
I did, for a short period of time, but my first job was in radio and television as a sportscaster, small little TV and radio station based in Aspen, Colorado, which sounds very glamorous, but really was just like working anywhere else because we worked very hard, and it was my first job in broadcasting, and the radio sportscaster had become the television sportscaster and didn't really want to do that anymore. In fact, he wanted to just go back to DJing, which is where he started. And so they were looking for something and were desperate for someone. And so I auditioned and somehow I got the job. I started out as a general assignment reporter in sports and then anchoring sports, and then pretty quickly decided that as much as I love sports and still do, that news was of more interest to me. And also there are many more job opportunities in news than there are in sports. And so I moved over to the news division, became the anchor of our newscasts, and ultimately actually became the news director. So I had a management position of about 20 people, not just in Aspen, but we also had a satellite bureau in Vail. And granted, those are, you know, resort communities, but there was hard news there that we covered, whether it was, you know, pollution, water issues, those sorts of things. And we covered a lot about the resort lifestyle as well. So it was interesting to me to be in that sort of position of telling people stories. I had done that a bit in college as a newspaper reporter for my daily newspaper. I went to Tufts University and ended up being the editor-in-chief of the daily newspaper. So this was sort of fitting with what I had found some interest in college.
So did you start out always having an interest in television, or did you really just kind of land into this?
Right. So I had an interest in journalism. I was reporter, then managing editor, then editor-in-chief at the Daily, the Tufts Daily. And I learned a lot and I loved it. And that's really where I first found a love of journalism. I was actually going to apply to law school. I did apply to law school. Well, I got into Boston College Law School and really wanted to go. And the first year I deferred my acceptance and wanted to continue my career as a journalist. And as every year went by, I talked to a lot of friends who were attorneys or who were in law school, and none of them were all that happy with what they were doing. And a lot of them advised me that, look, if you have found a career that you're interested in, that you enjoy, that you think you can make a career out of, I'd stick with it. I wouldn't rush to go back to law school. And I wrestled with that for really 3 years. I kept deferring my acceptance to Boston College. And finally, they said, hey, are you coming or not? And I decided, no, I'm going to stick with this journalism thing. I like it. I think it's rewarding for me personally. And I think I'm giving back in some way as a public service to my greater community. And so I stuck with it. Chronicle here was for me sort of like having a second career in the same building. I worked in our news division for almost 20 years as a general assignment reporter, weekend anchor, weekday anchor. And I loved all of that. I loved that experience that I got. I always say it was kind of like a PhD in the human condition because you meet so many people and see so many stories. And then when I was able to come over to Chronicle, it was a complete shift because we have all this time and we have all this expanse, if you will, to really dig into a story and delve into all of its nuances. And I loved that, and it was a completely different experience from news, and it's really been, like I said, having two careers in the same building. Well, what about you, Shayna? Let's talk about your background a little bit, because you did not come to this directly as a journalist necessarily.
No, I actually worked in corporate America for 4 years prior to stepping into journalism. I worked for Corporate Gap. After undergrad, I went to Spelman College in Atlanta, Georgia. I moved to San Francisco, California, and I took a position with The Gap as part of their first retail management training program, where we spent a year in the four major divisions of the company: merchandising, marketing, planning, distribution, production, and Merchandising, marketing, planning, distribution, and merchandising. And after that year was over, we were placed in one of those divisions. I went into Old Navy Baby Accessories as an assistant merchant. And while I was out there, I was really homesick and I wanted to move back to the East Coast. And I was fortunate that they let me transfer to their executive recruiting office. And while I was there, I recognized that I loved interviewing people and I loved hearing their stories. And I had hoped that in some capacity, I would be able to do that forever. I wasn't sure how that was going to happen at that point in time. But at that point in time, I also knew that I had a real interest in television. I always wanted to be on TV. I always wanted to try to be Oprah, which then morphed into wanting to be an entertainment reporter. And so I started taking some classes at NYU in the evenings, and journalism classes, and I absolutely loved it. And I thought, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. I need to be doing this. I wasn't sure how. I was making good money. I was living in the city that I wanted to be in at the time. And I had a good job. So you just don't walk away from that. So I needed some encouragement. And so I've shared this story with you before, Anthony. I was doing jury duty and I was talking to a fellow juror about my career dilemmas. And she said to me, "It is your obligation to yourself to see this through. Listen to your gut or you'll always wonder what if." And at that moment, I said, you know what? I need to try to do this. I need to try to go after the career I want. So I took the GRE. I applied to graduate programs. I ended up attending Syracuse University's Newhouse School of Broadcast Journalism. And it was a great program. I had terrific mentors. I had great classmates. I had a terrific internship that gave me a lot of real experience in the news department. And after graduation, I ended up getting a job back in Western Massachusetts at the ABC affiliate there, WGGB ABC 40, as a general assignment reporter, working weekends. I was making a fraction of the money that I was making with The Gap. I was living at home with my parents. It was a quite humbling experience. I was 27 at that point in time. And I remember thinking to myself, I am taking steps backwards and not moving forward. But it motivated me to work really, really hard and to craft my skill. And then eventually I was promoted to the morning anchor and then morning and noon anchor, doing both shows daily by myself. And it got to the point, I was with the station, I think, for about almost 2.5 years, and it was time to move on and get that next job in television. And I sent my tape, I got an agent and sent my tape out to various places, and WCVB was interested, and which worked out great because at the time, my very serious boyfriend, who's now my husband, was living out here in the Boston area. And Chronicle, for me, was the closest thing, especially in New England, that I would get to entertainment reporting. So it worked out. I got the job. I was hired as a reporter and producer. And this month is my 13th year with the show. And I started anchoring the show almost 2 years ago in May.
What were you doing in Springfield? What kind of stories were you covering?
So my beat for the most part in Springfield, well, I started as a general assignment reporter and then the morning live shot reporter. So I was doing everything. But then I started doing education reporting. That was my beat out there. And I loved that because I felt like there was a real human interest side to these stories. And I feel like one of the things that we do best at Chronicle is telling the human interest side of a story and really getting able to tell people's story, finding the story. And while it was on a smaller scale in Springfield, they were a minute 30 packages. I felt like I got to know a person. I felt like I got to showcase the wonderful things that they were doing. And those skills, I feel like we are able to do with Chronicle as well.
I think that's the highest compliment we ever get at Chronicle, or I ever get, I think, is, you know, people entrust us with their stories. They're taking this leap of faith that you're going to represent their story well and accurately and faithfully. And so I always say that the highest compliment I think we get is when people call us after a show and say, wow, you know, you really captured my life, my story, my business, my turmoil, my triumph, whatever it may have been. You captured it perfectly. And somehow we, through our great photography and good writing and great reporting and good storytelling, good editing, somehow we really did understand the essence of what they were all about. And that, to me, is really the ultimate compliment that we can get. It's a much different experience than what you have on the news side because it's much faster paced and you're really just hitting the surface of every story that you cover. You don't have the time, as we do here, to tell someone's story in depth.
I think with our show and with just the industry in general, that we're always trying to grow and stretch and bring something new to the table. And that's one of the reasons why we wanted to expand with this podcast and try this podcast out, to try to capture a new viewer, try to tell a story in a different way, try to give more information on the stories we're doing. And that's exactly what we're trying to do with this podcast, which is exciting.
It is exciting. And I think we have to go where the viewers and the listeners are. That's certainly a lesson we've all learned with sort of the fractionalization of media, the fact that there are now 500 channels where there used to be three, and there are so many more avenues for information that compete for people's attention. And we need to be in those places. And so we have a place that we've staked out at 7:30 every night on television. But I think it's important for us as we go forward to be staking out positions in the podcast world and on our social media accounts and et cetera. And I think this is just a natural extension. And we've talked about this a lot. We have a lot of material that we never get to use. You know, we shoot a lot of material. It ends up in a half hour program that's really about 22 to 24 minutes of content. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of great interviews that end up on the cutting room floor. And I think this is a venue where we can share that information.
You know, what's exciting about that is, as I was mentioning earlier, one of the things that I really love about this business and what we are able to do is sitting down, talking with people and interviewing them and having a conversation and hearing their stories. And while we're able to do that out in the field, as you mentioned, a lot of that just gets cut down. So to have the opportunity to sit down with somebody and really talk to them without having it being cut down is exciting.
Yeah. And I think, you know, information is a valuable commodity. And it's also difficult in this day and age sometimes to know where you can trust your information. And I think the more that we can let people in behind the curtain a little bit, the better our program is and the better they are for understanding how we do the shows we do. We get inundated with suggestions on stories we should cover at Chronicle. And obviously we can't cover everything, but I think one of the nice things about our program is that we do look at everything. Mm-hmm. We do examine every story idea that comes our way, but there's reasons why we can't cover everything. And maybe we can shed a little bit of light on that as well, so people understand the process a little bit behind what actually ends up being on the air.
Now to our managing editor and the producer behind our podcast show that aired on April 9th, please welcome Nneka Faison.
So Nneka, thanks for joining us on the inaugural podcast. And tell our listeners what our viewers may have seen already on the on-air broadcast product. What's the show about, really?
All right. So the episode that we recently aired on Podcast People in the Boston area, we talked to a number of podcasters in the region, some with ties to the region, a couple of guys, actually three guys from the Obama campaign and Obama staff, former Obama employees. They started a podcast network based in LA, and they have a number of political podcasts. The number one show in their network is Pod Save America. It has 370 downloads. 370 million.
That would be quite a bit then.
370, you're like, oh, okay.
We should be able to get there.
Yeah,
at least.
370 million downloads, which is in the podcast world, 3,000 is tops, mm-hmm. right? But 370 million, I mean, that's just, you know, very few podcasts other than maybe Serial reach that kind of a number, which is another, you know, very well-known podcast. Erica Tarantel, one of our reporters, interviewed those guys and what they've been able to do growing their podcast network and also trying to encourage political activism. They do have a bias. They don't claim to be journalists, but they have kind of started this movement among young liberals. But it's very interesting that they have been able to become key players in this very new industry. So, and they're from Boston, which is great. So we talked to them. We talked to some local production houses, startups that are trying to help other podcasters because there is some concern that the industry is becoming too corporate, that it's becoming harder for the little guy to have the same voice as, say, you know, a venture-backed podcast or something. So it was an interesting look at the industry the way it is now and in Boston, you know, being key players in the industry. And then Chronicle, the podcast, we talked about the creation of our podcast studio, and the people behind the scenes that helped get it started. So hopefully people who listen to this will also be interested in watching. You know, we put all of our episodes online. So, you know, if people are intrigued hearing us today, hopefully they go and click on that.
So how do you see the podcast sort of fitting into the overall pantheon of offerings from Chronicle. Obviously, our broadcast at 7:30 every night is sort of our flagship property, but where do you see this fitting in?
Well, I think you said earlier in the show that, you know, we've always been innovators here at Chronicle. We were the first show to broadcast in HD in the region. You know, we always say the Food Network before the Food Network, you know. So it just seemed natural that Chronicle would also venture into this new world, you know, this new medium. And I just see it as another way for people who love us and love the show, or people who have traveled to New England, who used to live in New England but maybe live far away and kind of miss the stories and miss, you know, just maybe even miss hearing the Boston accent, which neither of us have, but, you know, just people who miss the content, either if they live here or don't live here, they are busy with their kids at 6, 7:30, or they're not home, a way for them to catch up and then get intrigued, maybe go back and rewatch some episodes that they might have missed. So I just see it as adding to our offerings and maybe helping us to find a new audience.
Mm-hmm. And we talked too about maybe using some material that doesn't make it into our broadcast show, and expanding on that here in the podcast. Was there stuff in the actual podcast program that we did that we weren't able to air that you could talk about that you feel like we missed out on just because we were limited by time?
That's a good one. So Jesse Grossi, one of the producers who worked on the show. So I should mention Jesse, Sangeeta Chandra, and Erica Tarantel and I, so four of us, put the show together. And Jesse met a few podcasters, and he was only able to put one in his piece. And I think it would have been great to maybe include some of the new up-and-comers. It's not that he didn't want to, but you know better than anybody, we're limited by time in television. He also attended a podcasting conference at Boston University. A lot of students were there, and that was recent. So, you know, maybe some more of the student voices. And, you know, when we talk to experts, we talk to them sometimes for an hour. And you learn so much, and you're so fascinated, and you think, darn it, I can only put in a few seconds or a minute or what have you. So his interview with the head of the PRX Podcast Garage here in Alston, which is right outside of Boston, she was great, and she just had a great insight on the industry overall. And we had a lot of her in the show, but maybe some more of that would have been, might be helpful for people to just understand this new medium that we're exploring.
And lastly, what do you see as the attraction, and we talk about this in the show a little bit, about podcasts? I mean, in a world where information is coming at us so rapidly and in such short and small snippets, whether it's via social media or even on television, why are people tuning in to listen to 30, 45-minute, hour-long podcasts?
That is such a good question, because you would think that in our short attention span world that nobody would be interested in that kind of content. But then at the same time that our attention spans are shrinking, we all have longer commutes, you know, and then when we get home, maybe we're busy with a limited time to get dinner and cooking and all of that stuff. Everyone's very busy. And I think one, it's the commutes. Two, just having something in the background. It's a more intimate experience, maybe after a long day. And then honestly, maybe this is just me. This is my theory. I don't know if this is true, but maybe sometimes we get tired of looking at our phones all the time, and you like to do something and be entertained and not be staring at a screen. That's part of why I enjoy podcasts. And I like feeling, you know, I listened to you and Shayna, and I felt like you were with me in the car. I was listening to, you know, you're recording the podcast, and I thought, wow, this is great. I've known these people for 5, 6 years, and I feel like I learned more about you guys in that, you know, the 10 minutes or so that folks heard earlier. So I think that intimate connection, maybe we're missing that in society now. I don't know.
I think that's true. I think people do feel, as much as we get a lot of information, it's often very thin. And
yeah.
Maybe it's nice to get a little bit deeper, which is what our podcast is going to allow us to do at Chronicle, to give you some behind the scenes insight into how we do things, why we do things, how we select our stories, how we produce our stories. And also that material we talked about that wasn't able to fit into the broadcast program that maybe fits in here in the podcast. So thank you for being the driving force behind this and being one of our first guests.
Oh, well, thank you. You know, it was so hard to get me. I'm just right down the hallway. But I wanted to say something that you said that was perfect, is that we live in a world where it's so hard to know where to trust your information. And there's a lot of content out there. And to have a brand like ours, a show like ours, that's been around for a long time, and we have seasoned journalists who are very thorough in their reporting and they're investigating, I think it is a natural fit that we would be in this space as well. And we have so much material here. You know, I didn't grow up in the Boston area, but I find myself watching old chronicles to kind of learn about the area that I live in. You know, my in-laws talk about the Big Dig, and I'm like, what is this Big Dig that everybody talks about? Then I watch, you know, an old Chronicle episode that, you know, our city is growing and there are so many people here who are like me and not from here. And this could be a great way to learn more about the area where they live.
Well said. And off we go into our brave new world. Thank you, Nika, for sharing the insight.
Thank you, Anthony, for having me.
All right, everyone, and that's our Chronicle podcast. Thank you for listening. Remember to subscribe so you never miss an episode. Let us know what you think about our new venture on social media at Chronicle5 on Twitter and Instagram. We would love to hear your feedback and thoughts.